This is Tip TV Finance. We meet Jenny Hammonds and Zach Mir, and with us in the studio is Bill Blaine from Mint Partners. Bill, good to have you with us today.
Excellent to be here as well.
So you wanted to talk about Davos to start with. I hear you're a big fan.
I think I said the last thing I think is worth talking about is Davos. I mean, it is a very interesting thing that we still have after so many years, this Davos meeting going on. But if you actually look at what it's about, it's just a gab fest nowadays. It's a place for the great and the good to go and pontificate. And I've got to say, I caught the start of Theresa May's speech this morning, and it could have been exactly the same speech she delivered to any meeting of like-minded conservative ministers, voters, whatever. I'm not sure how meaningful it is anymore.
I don't think it really matters what the speeches that come out of it, isn't it? Sort of, you know, the relationships and what they talk about behind closed doors, of course. And I think it's great for Theresa May because she can rub shoulders with
Xi
from China,
you know,
while Trump's away and Merkel and things. So, you know, we could take advantage of this,
yeah,
surely.
Theresa doesn't strike me as the kind that goes in smoke-filled rooms and hammers out complex deals. I think one thing that was very interesting was there we had President Xi at the meeting making very clear that China is moving into the position of being one of the foremost supporters of global open markets. And you have to give a little snigger when you think about what happens later today.
Is that global markets or is that capitalism? Or what are they actually...
With the Chinese face.
Which is communism?
No,
they're
it's
not
capitalism
with
the Chinese face. It's keeping the masses happy enough to remain with the current government in place.
That's what they do in the EU, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, Zach. But I think it's an interesting parallel that there you have the Chinese president speaking about keeping borders open and boosting global trade. And later today, of course, we're going to see the ultimate deal-maker ascending to the throne of the sovereign republic of the USA.
But haven't we established that the whole globalization thing is a disaster?
I know, that is a very interesting theme you raise, because I've been out for the last couple of weeks doing other things and reading lots of books before I came back to work at the start of the year. And one of the big themes, or there are two really big themes in all the people who worry about economics. One is the liberal society, the end of. I'm calling it the die liberal, die scenario, that liberal politics have failed to address society, and that's why we have rising income inequality, and that's why we have so many people who think they're well off suddenly discovering they're not, and that's why we're seeing such a protest vote. And the other part of that debate is the failure, the end of the period of globalization. And both these themes, I think, have become mainstream economics in the last couple of months. People are wondering, what does a new global economy look like without globalization and without liberalization? So you're going to see more and more electoral shocks, like maybe later this year in France, maybe even in Germany, whatever. The other side of that coin is to look and say, well, maybe they're wrong. Maybe all we're seeing is a hiccup in globalization, and I suspect that's probably more right. If you look at what's going to happen in the States in the next couple of months, yes, we have a new government, and yes, we are very concerned for obvious reasons, but you look at the kind of things and the kind of people, importantly, that Trump is putting in place, we could be beginning to see an era of new politics and new policies. By new policies, I mean a far more fiscal approach to creating growth and creating jobs. That could even happen within Europe. So I don't think it is the end of globalization. I love the expression, die liberal, die. But I don't think it's actually going to happen. I think it's a hiccup, it's a learning moment. And I am quite confident that we're going to get some upside shocks this year in terms of global growth.
Yeah, but the whole point with globalization is that it's, you know, we know what it does. It reduces wages, it reduces inflation, it reduces growth. And Trump is coming in to get us back to the good old days of higher inflation, higher growth. And
rising wages.
And rising wages.
Yeah, and I think potentially, much as it hurts to say it, he may be right. And this is why I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic. I think Theresa May started her speech this morning saying that everyone at Davos is by nature an optimist. It worries me. I find myself in agreement with her. I find myself optimistic about the world. Because if we can steer globalization back onto track where we get the kind of growth that we saw in the 1950s.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be globalization, it would be whatever we had before.
Well, we're into a different world. If we can have a globalized economy where more people benefit, that's surely going to be a good thing, not only for ourselves as members of that society, but also the politicians who get elected on what they deliver.
Finally, it is the World Economic Forum. It's not exactly been a great year for economists, has it? I mean, could they change the name? What it really is the World Elitist Forum.
Well, it may well be, but your question about economics is very interesting, because economics keeps on passing itself off as some kind of science. And for the last 10 years, we've had this period of monetary experimentation, which has all been led by the professional economists sitting within central banks. And where has that 10 years of monetary experimentation got us? Absolutely nowhere.
But I think if you ask most economists, they'll say they're not, crystal ball gazers, are they?
I'm an economist. That's my background. My degree is in economics. It is called the dismal science. But it's not actually a science. It's an art form. It's trying to read the runes. It's like, I think I wrote recently, it's like the old 12th century alchemists trying to change base metals into gold. That's what economics is about. Unfortunately, for the last 10 years, we've had a bunch of central bank economists fooling themselves and fooling us that by monetary experimentation we could get somewhere. If we look back at some point in the next 50 years to the 2010 era, we're going to say what a lot of mistakes were made, in exactly the same way we look back retrospectively to the 1920s and 30s and point out the mistakes that were made there. And so that's one of the reasons I'm a little bit more optimistic about what's going to happen in Washington later this afternoon, and a little bit more optimistic when I see some of the growth numbers coming out of Europe, and the fact that this terrible shock we created in the UK last year of Brexit actually seems to be getting people excited. And when people are excited, they start making money. And that's not a bad thing.
Super. Bill, thank you. Bill Blaine there from Mint Partners.